Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Daf Lamed, we're holding right on top. Shoit Chalot Tzorcha. Aval Loi Lichvoidoi. Back to the Mishnah. You found a garment. You should maintain it. You should care for it. Take it, shake it out, open it up. Litzorcha. In order to benefit the garment, to air it out and protect it from, mold and all types of, right? Avaloy l'chvoide, but don't do it for your own sake, to show off, right? So, if it's for the sake of the item, fine. Otherwise, leave it alone. Iboilu, here comes a question. What if he has both things in mind? Litzorchay, or litzorchamay? Suppose he's hanging it on his wall, for two reasons. Multi-purpose. To help the item air out, but he's also using it to beautify his home. Is that okay? My. Toshma. Here comes a raya. It says in the Mishnah, Shoitcha l'tzorcha. You can only do so to benefit the item. Strictly for that purpose. L'tzorcha in. Only there you can do that. Ha l'tzorcha l'tzorcha. But if there's a joint purpose, he's also benefiting from it. You can't do that. Loi. Eimo seifa. Okay, but let's move on to the next line of the Mishnah. Avaloi lichvoidoi. You can't do it if you're trying to show off, right? If it's a display of your own, to display your own, to enhance your own home and to bring you a kavod and recognition, right? Lichvoidoi yudaloi. So only if it's meant to, if it's for your own enhancement. But if there is a joint purpose, right? If it's strictly for your own benefit, so you can't. But if you're joined together, you're hitching up. You're benefiting the item, but also having hana yourself, shaper dummy, that's okay. So here it seems to be okay. So apparently from this Mishnah we can't derive any conclusion, because from one part of the Mishnah it sounds like joint venture is no good, and it sounds like it is good, so we're not sure which way to go. Toshma. Here comes another raya from Reb Bryce. So once again we're speaking about this garment which he's trying to air out and to maintain. You shouldn't spread it, lo yalgavi mita, not on your bed, lo yalgavi mugged, nor should you hang it from a hook. Utsar chay. If you're trying to benefit from it, aval yishtachen algavi mita, algavi mugged, utsar chay. But if it's for the sake of the item, that's okay. Nizdam lo yarchim. Suppose you're hosting some guests, and this would enhance the experience, lo yishtachen, lo yalgavi mita, lo yalgavi mugged, Bein letzarchai, you shouldn't do that, whether you're trying to gain, or bein letzarchai, the item is really gaining. So basically, you see that having that joint purpose is not allowed. That's called misusing the item. Well, it answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam. No, there it's very different, because you have people visiting, and there's an additional concern of ayin hara, the mikla kalilah, because he's burning it up, so to speak. It's an expression, meaning he might actually destroy the item. How? Physically or spiritually. Imishum eina. The guests will lay their eyes on it and will be jealous, and that will create that effect, that ayin hara effect, which might ultimately destroy the item. Interesting. Imishum ganvi, or perhaps you have some dishonest people visiting and they might take the item. So there's an additional concern, but perhaps in the absence of this concern, it would be allowed. You would be able to, have some residual benefit if primarily the point is to benefit the item. Toshma, here comes another raya. To prove to us that joining together two interests is us. Hechnisa l'rav kavadosha. So we have an egla arufa. So you found a person killed on the road and you bring this calf, which you meant to behead on the spot and at that location, and it's meant to atone for the right. So this animal is not meant to have been worked with at all. Okay, so he takes the animal and brings it into the chnisa l'ravka, into this hitch, right? Hitches it up with other animals, with his mother, etc. Vadasha, and it the animals were hitched up to thresh. They were in the middle of threshing, and he had this calf join the other animals. And his intention was not to have the egla, the calf, join in the threshing. His purpose was to pair it up with the mother, so the animal can, a nurse, whatever. So even if it ended up working, it's okay. But if he had that double intention in mind, I'm hitching it up so that it could nurse and also join in the threshing. Joint purpose, joint venture, that's psula. Because it's considered as though it was placed there for threshing purposes as well, even though there was another interest going along with that. So apparently you can't merge interests. Here we have an example. Who? It's serving two purposes. His purpose, because of threshing, and also it's aiding the animal because it's allowing her to access the mother and nurse. And we say one detracts from the other. It's no longer purely letzarecha. There's some self-interest as well. We have to reckon with that too. Even though you can argue and say, well, it's there for nursing purposes. No, but since he's also benefiting from it, you have to reckon with that. It's a factor at play. Uktani psul, and the Brisa says it's no good. So apparently joining together two things is problematic. Well, Shani Hassam, there it's different. There's an exception. The animal had not undergone any work, experienced any work. Mekal makam, in any situation. So there, even this type of experience disqualifies it. If that's so what about in the first instance when he hitched it up in order to have it nurse? Well, ultimately, it was also threshing. It wasn't his intention, but by default, it was involved in the threshing as well. And the pasuk Ashalei Ubad Bo covers this too, which should disqualify. Well, says the Gemara, here's the answer. This situation must be compared to another halach. Okay, let's hold on. It's not. This Mishnah actually discusses a para aduma, which has very similar guidelines. Right? So the red heifer has to be free of any work, free of any loads. Shachan alei oif, kshera, bird perched itself on the red cow, it's okay. Allah Allah, zoch psula, but if a male animal hitched on, it's pus. My time of why? Fact is, the owner wasn't involved. Right, nature took over, so why is he chai? Why is the animal disqualified? Could Rav Papa, as Rav Papa explains, even if he wasn't manually involved, it also disqualifies the animal for having carried on itself the zachar. Dom Rav Papa, iksiv ubad, v'karinan ubad. Because the pasuk says that the animal was loy ubad ba, right? It wasn't worked with. So if the spelling would be Ein Vav Beis Dald Ubad, and that's how we read it, Havamina Filu Mimel, that would indicate that any type of work, even if the owner was totally unaware, uninvolved, that's if it would be spelled and read this way. On the other hand, Viksiv Ava Vekarinan Avad, if it would be spelled Ein Beis Dald Avad, and that's how it's read, Avad, then we would take the other direction. Havamina ad avad ba'il. Avad means he worked the animal. He has to be involved. But the thing is, it doesn't say it this way or that way. It's somewhere in the middle. It's spelled one way and read differently. Ha'ash d'chsiv avad. Now the spelling is ayin veiz dalad, which is indicative of his active involvement, right? Avad. V'karin ubad. But we read it differently, with a shuruk, ubad, even if it happened on its own, without his involvement. So we sort of have to merge these two things. There's an element of both. There needs to be an element of involvement, and even if there's an element of uninvolvement, it also has the same effect. How do we merge the two things? True. Even if the animal went through this experience on its own without the owner's involvement, it also disqualifies as long as it has similarities to Ava, to his involvement, which basically means he has to be aware. He has to be interested. That's his contribution. So even though practically it was animal to animal, but still it can disqualify if he knew, he was aware, he consented. Ma'ava de nichalei, just like when you actively work the animal, you're involved, you're interested, you're consenting to it. Af uba, likewise, in similar fashion, if it happens on its own, like the case of Allah Alaha Zachar, de nichalei, where that type of activity is typically sanctioned by the owner, right? So therefore it has the disqualifying effect on the animal. So bottom line, we had a shayla regarding a Shavas Aveda. You meant to care for it and have only the item and the owner's interests in mind. So air it out, shake it out. But let's say you also have some hanoa as it's happening. Is that okay? Right? Can you do it in a manner which benefits you too? So we're not sure. We try to compare it to the halacha of Egla Rufa and Paraduma, but ultimately we distinguish between the two cases because there it's a special pasuk, which indicates that it covers this type of case as well. Klei kesef uklei nechosh mishtamash ben tanu rabban hamoytzei klei eitz. If a person finds a wooden utensil, how do you care for it? Mishtamash ben b'shvil shlo yirkav. You have to use it constantly so that it doesn't, rot. It doesn't get, klei nechoshes, copperware. Mishtamash ben b'cham, and use it in hot. Avo lo yaleha ur, but not on a fire mipnei shemashchikin, because it's going to wear it out. It's going to rub it out. Klei kesef mishtamash ben b'tzoynin. Silverware only with coal. Avo lo b'cham, and not with hot. Mipnei shemashchikin, because it blackens it. Magrefos, some sort of rake. Bikarduma is his axes. Mishtamash ben barach, you can use them with soft material. Avalei bekasha, not with hard material, because it can dull it. Neshem afchisa. Klei zav, klei zchuchis, golden or silver, or glassware. Keep away, hands off. Lo yigal behen mipnei, ad sheyavel yo, leave it until Yo Navi comes. Kederach shamar ba'aveda, kach amar b'vikadim. The same care you have for a lost item, which you have found, the same applies to an item which was entrusted by you, by the owner. Asks the Gemara, hold it. Pikadoin mayavi tegabei. Why are you meddling with the other person's pikad? Let the owner come and take care of it. You don't have to use it. Omer rather bar chamar of sheishes. We're speaking about a long-term deposit. Pikadoin shalchu balein b'nesayim. The owner disappeared, so it's sitting by you for a while. So you have to follow the special, instructions, guidebook, how to care for his item. Let's say you've encountered an item which is sort of below your dignity, relative to your position in the community or your age. So it's not covered for you to bend down and pick up this, doll carriage. You can leave it. Not immediately. How do you know it's true? That's a chiddush. You can just disregard the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. Tanu Rabbanan. The pasuk actually uses an interesting word in the psukim of Hashavas Aveda. Bisalamta, turn a blind eye. So actually, in the context of the pasuk, the message is otherwise, meaning you'll see the animal roaming around, lost, and you're going to disregard it. You shouldn't do that, return it. But the Gemara has a drasha that at times you actually take it literally. At times, the Torah gives you the license to disregard the item, ignore it. At times, you can't just ignore it. You have to pick it up and tend to it. Okay, so how is that true? We have three situations where you can just turn around and leave it. Let's say a person is walking down the road. He's a kohen. He finds an item across the fence in a cemetery. Beyond his reach, he's a kohen, right? Or he's an older man and it's just not up to par for him to bend down and pick up this thing, right? It's an item which is an affront to his honor. Or this fellow is making $100 an hour, and if he's gonna take off time to deal with this little sack here, with this little worthless item, it's not worth it. Right? It's not fair for him to have to lose all that income. That's why the Torah gives you that green light. You know, in these situations, you're not obligated. Now, let's analyze the Brisa again. We have three situations. Which is the main point? Right? Why does the Torah have to allow you in these three cases? Let's take the Kohen, who notices the item in the cemetery. Well, obviously, he's not obligated. Pshita, high assay. At most, Hashavas Aveda entails a mitzvah assay, right? Hashav Teshivim. V'hailo, he says, if assay and becoming tummy is a big no-no. He has a mitzvah assay, kedoshim to you. And Allah says, assay, l'nefesh l'yitama. Well, he also assay. And even the assay of Hashavas Aveda will never come and push away v'dachi es lois assay v'assay. At most, an assay can push away a lois assay, right? But not if he's confronting lois assay and an assay. So obviously, he's not obligated to do that. But through another question, lois dachin and isurim become a moina. At most, Hashavas Aveda involves assisting your fellow Jew monetarily. Becoming tummy for a kohen is an isur. An isur is stronger than mamain obligations. So it's pretty obvious in this case. We don't need a pasuk for this. Oh, what about the next case, where his loss of income overrides the value of the item? Well, again, that's pretty obvious. That's learned from a different source. The pasuk says, look, take care not to become poor, not to, you know, your interest, your financial losses, priority comes before the other fellow's items. So basically, it's pretty obvious, not meant to incur a loss more than the other person gains, right? Oh, apparently it's applicable in the third case. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. That if a person's an older man, or a Talmud Chacham, and this particular item that he encounters is just not, not unexpected that he would handle this type of item. Even if it was his own, he wouldn't be doing this. So then the Torah allows him to forego the mitzvah. Amar Rabba, but he kisha. Let's say it's an animal, right? Which is not his covet, right? But he goes and he snaps it. He gives it a tap with a stick, right? Gets it going, right? To get it back to the owner. So once he does that, chayav, now he has to look after it all the way. Once you start, you have to finish. Abaya have a yosuk made the rabba. Abaya was sitting in front of a rabba. Chaza. He notices this herd of goats. Lahanach izi the kaimu, right? Herd of goats that was standing there. Shakal kala shadabu. So he took a glob of earth and he tossed it at the animals. And he sort of, triggered their movement. Amalei, so now Rabba tells Abaya, oh, that triggers the mitzvah. You can't now drop it. You've become obligated in the chiv of Shabbos Aveda, Kum Adrinu, you have to go return it. Once you took responsibility, once you started, you got to go return it. Iboilo, now comes an interesting question. Suppose we have a prominent person, distinguished fellow, who, when it's in the Sada, when it's an unpopulated area, when he's not, in public, he wouldn't hesitate to attend to this item, right? Nobody's watching, so if it would be his item and he's in a Sada, no problem. But if it's in a populated area in town, it's beneath the dignity to deal with this stuff. So, what is the halacha now? If he found the item out in the, in a private area, in an unpopulated area, mi'amrina, shall we say, hashava ma'al yabinan? Hashava sabed entails picking up the item and doing a full return. So, he's safe out in the sada. But ultimately, when he gets to town, it's not respectful for him. It's not honorable for him. So, since he can't do a complete job, he's not chayiv. He doesn't even have to begin. Or you can say, the fact is, out in the field, he's chayiv. There, he doesn't have the covered factor, right? So once he gets involved there, once he gets involved, he's chayv to start. So once he does phase one, and now he's in possession of the item, he has to complete it, even though it involves doing it in the town. We leave it as an unresolved question. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, how do we determine what's considered beneath your dignity? You know what it depends on? How you would treat it if it were your own item. That's the rule of thumb. Kol b'shaloi machzer, if it would be your item, you wouldn't hesitate to pick it up and bring it back home. So then, do the same for your friend, b'shal chaveiroi nami machzer. Likewise, when it comes to loading or unloading animals, if you do it for yourself, you have to do it for your friend. If it would be your animal, you would unload the animal, v'toyin, or load it. Likewise, if it's your friend's, nami peirik v'toyin. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi had a story. He was on the road. So this fellow bumps into him, this fellow was carrying pischa de ufi, a bundle of wood. Okay, svinu, this fellow decided to rest up for a minute, so he removed the load, become mitfach, and he was put on the floor and he was resting. Amalei, when he was done, he needed some help reloading the item. Dolilis, he turns to the tanner Rishmal, he says, you know, can you help me load it up? Amalei, so Rishmal didn't considered it to be honorable for him to be involved in loading wood. Amalei, he says, look, kama shavin, how much is it worth? Amalei, palga dezuzi, the fellow says, half a coin. So he pulled out a half a coin. You have the palga dezuzi, he gave him a half a coin, but after he sort of purchased the load, rather than lowering himself and going in and being involved, he purchased the wood and he made it hefker. So what did this fellow do? This wise guy went and retained the wood again. Hadar zachavu. So this fellow heard that it was hefker, so he picked it up. Now it's mine, and now Rabbi Shmuel has to help me again. Hadar yavli bag dezuzi v'afker. What did Rabbi Shmuel do? Once again, he paid him off. He purchased it from him, so that exempted him from being involved in helping him, and he made a hefker again. So Rabbi Shmuel notices this fellow's about to jump and grab it again. Armalei, he says, oh, not this time. L'kuli al mafkarinu. V'lecha lefkarinu. I made a hefker for everybody else, but not for you. In this way, he prevented a recurrence. Asks the Gemara, really, halachically, you can do that? Umi avi hefker ki agavna, can you make a limited hefker? But tanami of a Mishnah, you can't do that. Veshami ayrim, hefker ala name hefker. Veshami hold, you can make a limited hefker. I can make it ownerless and available only for poor people. That's called hefker. Basil ayrim, no. After all, where do we learn hefker from? The concept is learned from Shemitah, right? Which is available to all. Einoy hefker, achi yehi hefker lanim v'lashim kashmita, right? You have to make it available for all. Ella says, "Amar, you're right. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yisrael, the kul yam afkirinu. Technically, he really made it ownerless for anybody, and he's just trying to, you know, sort of push this guy away. With Musa ba'amud ukme, he just uses as sort of an excuse to get him off the case, lest he go and reacquire it and complicate matters." Asks the Gemara. Now, what was the issue to begin with? We have an exemption of zokein ve'inoy lichichvoide, right? And Rabbi Shmuel certainly fits the bill. It was beneath his dignity to go and, you know, load the wood. So why do you have to go through this whole process of buying it and rebuying it? Answers the Gemara, you're right. Strictly speaking, he was exempt, but he went beyond the letter of the law. And you can do that. And therefore, he went to this great extent to address the situation. In Torah of Yosef, Vayidat Lam, we have a pasuk in Shmoyis by Yisroel, when he was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidat Lam, you should inform them, you should teach them. What does that mean? Zebes Chayim, teach them, they should learn a trade, to have parnasa. Esaderech, what does that mean? To Gmilas Chasadim, to acts of kindness. Yel Chubo, what does that mean? Zebeku Chaylam, to visit the unhealthy people. Ba, the word ba, zukvura, to be involved in being kaiver mason. Vesamasa, what does that mean? Zahadin, to do things according to din. And the word asher ya'asun, that's beyond din. Zu lefne mishur sadin. So we see that it's dictated in the Torah. Person's meant to endeavor to be involved in Lefnim Mishur Sadim. Amamar, Yelchu Zabikur Chaylim. The word Yelchu involves Bikur Chaylim. Well, obviously, Hanigbos Chasadim, once we discussed Gemilas Chasadim in general, it's all included. Why specify Bikur Chaylim separately? Answers the Gemara. Lenitzrucha must be speaking Elo Leben Giloy. When this visitor is of the same mazel as the person that's ill, Damar Mar, as we learned, Ben Giloy, if this type of person visits, he can actually contract some of the sickness. Noitil Echad Meshishim B'chol, he takes a 60th. Farshim say 60th is just an expression. It means a minute portion of that sickness gets transferred to the visitor. And even so, he meant to sacrifice and go and be involved, even at your expense. So that's the Chiddush of the Pasuk. Bikur Chaylim obligates you to be involved, even if you end up sharing, you know, a minute portion of that sickness. Says the Gemara, Ba means Zukfura. Again, same question is, Hani Gmilas Chasadim, isn't that included under the umbrella of Gmilas Chasadim? La Yisrucha must be speaking, Lazakin Fi Chvoidai. Here's a Zakin, here's an older person, old Talmud Chacham, and typically he's not involved in digging graves, but by Bikur Chaylim, by Kvira Sameis, there's no heter of Zakin Veinel Fi Chvoidai. The words Asher Yasum teaches us Zul Lefnim Mishur Sadim. This fits with Rabbi Yechanan, who highlights the importance of going Lefnim Mishur Sadim, going the extra mile to keep the peace and harmony. Dom Rabbi Yechanan Lo Yichav Yerushalayim Elal Shadonu Badini Torah. You should know the destruction of Yerushalayim only occurred because they followed the dinim of the Torah. What's wrong with that? Ela dinay de Megist LeDainu. Instead of dinay Torah, they should follow the keep to the laws of the violent, you know, judges and whatever. Meaning, what better law system, legal system than the dinay Torah? Ella ema rather means like this: Shemidu the name of the adin Torah. V'loy avdu, they followed strictly, right? The actual din, the actual laws, and they failed to go the extra mile. V'loy avdu lefnim mishur sadin, and that was a claim against the Anshei Yerushalayim. Hashem expected us to go beyond the letter of the law. Continues the Mishnah. How do we define a lost item? Ezohi aved. So for instance, matzah chamoy, oy para, roim baderach, he sees a donkey, a cow, walking down the road. Is that a lost item? Ezohi aved, that's not called lost item. They're on the way home, right? But if he finds chamoy v'kel v'afuchen, a donkey with its equipment overturned, well, that's a sign of distress. Para rotza ben akramim, a cow roaming through the vineyards, right? Running around in a haphazard way, that's a sign of a lost animal. Harizu aveda. Now, hechzira, let's say he returned the item to the owner. A baruch, and the animal ran away. Hechzira a baruch, did it again, returned it, and it ran away. Afila abo, v'chamisha pa'amim, even happened over and over again. You have to keep on trying. Chayv lechzira. Shenemar ha'ashev teshivim, over and over again. Now, let's say hayibatel misela. This fellow had a job, right? He earns, a sela per hour. And the hour that he has to take off to return the item is really worth it. He's going to lose a sela. Lo yomar lo yishim. He can't tell the owner, okay, tain li sela, you have to compensate me the full sela for the lost hour. Because after all, you know, the degree of hardship, right, is much less, right? Just picking up an item and returning it doesn't involve much effort. So he doesn't really deserve his full pay. He gets something. El anoisin le'ischorek epoyo. The Gemara will explain how this works. So there's a fair formula to value, to estimate, to determine how much this fellow is meant to be compensated. He gets something, but not, you know, his full wage, which he would have gotten for working that, you know, regular job. Now, im yesham bezdin, let's say the fellow finds the item, it wants to. He's willing to lay bricks. He's not interested in taking off the hour. So he makes $100 an hour laying bricks. He doesn't want to take off and, you know, take a break to return this item. It's not worth it for him. So if there's a bezin around, he can make a tonight to the bezin, he can make a condition, he says, look, I'm working hard labor, $100 an hour, I don't want to take off, I'm not interested, don't do me any favors, right? So either you give me full pay or I'm not doing the abeda. You can do that. You may some bezin. Let's say there's no bezin around to present this condition. So who should he make the condition with? Shalei koydim. So there's nobody there, so that's it. His income takes first priority, and he's not meant to take a loss. Asks the Gemara, we had Mishnahs upon Mishnahs of different cases of lost items. We haven't discussed a lost item until today. What do you mean, Ezo Yaveda? It sounds like we're opening our discussion the first time. Omar Vidal, Omar means like this, Ezo Yiklal Aveda. Let's have a general formula, right? Of what constitutes an Aveda. Shu Chayavah, which obligates him in the mitzvah. So we have some examples. Matzah Chamar Parra in Baderach, he finds an animal walking on the road. Ezo Yaveda, that's not called an Aveda. Vloy Mechayavah, he's not Chayav. Chamar v'keil ha'fuchim, pora v'rotza ben akramim, that's a sign of distress, a sign of lost animal, arizu aved, chayev. Asks the moral oilam. Now if he sees the animal just walking calmly, for a month straight, right? It's not lost? Of course it's lost. Amuridam rav ashleshiyam, until 3 days. So you see a couple of days, that's okay, but once you see it roaming around for a while, then you know it's really lost. Techidam. Now, for the first 3 days, When are you observing this animal? When? What time of the day? Ibalalusa, is it at night? There's no business roaming the roads at night. And certainly it's lost. I feel chajashatanami, if you see just for a moment, you know it's lost. Ibi mom, if it's during the day, I feel a tubanami, even if it's going there for a month straight. But it's daytime, the owner is, letting it take a walk. It's not a sign of an aveda. Leitzricha must be speaking like this. This idea of 3 days is a specific case. You notice the animal walking the roads early in the morning. He follows Hashachar or Hashachta after sundown, right? After, it's dark. So basically, we're not sure. Is it really lost? Is it not lost? It's not really purely daytime anymore, right? It's very early, it's very late. So that's the litmus test. If it's just a couple of days, if it's just 3 days, we say, okay. It just happened, right? Ishramuyi, ishramilo, v'nafka tfei. Typically, the animal is only out by day, but it happened that he left a little early, came back a little late. Okay, but tfei vada veidhi. If it's out for already more than 3 days, and you see it in these unusual times, then it's an aveda, and you have to tend to it. Tamiyam helchi. You find the same in a brisa. Motza katalis v'kardim. He finds a cloak or an axe, tools. Bisrati on the highway, pororot ben akromo, cow running through the vineyards, arizu aveda, certainly an aveda. But talis betzad geder, kardim betzad geder, you see a talis or a kardim, on the side of a fence, neatly placed, upororoya ben akrom, or a cow just calmly walking through the vines, arizu aveda, it's not an aveda. But if it's going on for a while, gimel yamim, zechazeh, 3 days in a row, as we explained, arizu aveda. And one more thing, ro mayim. Sheshoitvin uboin. This is an interesting halacha. Let's say he sees water flowing down into his friend's property. It's another form of Hashavas Aveda, preventative measures. Preventative, Hashavas Aveda. Hareza goyde refneyem. So you meant to block the water. To prevent the water from reaching your friend's property and flooding it. In fact, we have it sourced in the pasuk. What's that? That even karka has to be protected and is included in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. Okay, to summarize, you meant to take care of the Aveda with integrity, with honesty, and not benefit from it. We have all kinds of directives how to use, how to preserve various utensils in a delicate, caring way. We learned about the chiddush of pa'amim sha'atam mis'alim at times a person is allowed to. We mis'alim from an aveda if it's a zokim and l'fi chvoida. We learned all the different details regarding the halacha. And basically the formula is you treat the other person's property the same way you treat your own. So if you'd be embarrassed to take care of your own thing in this way, so then you leave it alone as well. And we learned about the fact that Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, although he was exempt, he still decided to conduct himself beyond, right, Leflim Rishur Sadin, as we learn in the Pasuk, the importance of Leflim Rishur Sadin, and how it contributed to the Churban Yerushalayim, the fact that they neglected this concept. And then we learned in the Mishnah, the Gemara, how to determine, right, how to define an Aveda versus just an animal walking along calmly and naturally, which should not trigger any concerns. All the best to you and Atzlacha Rav.